Blog Talk Radio.
And it's a hearty good afternoon to you, and we are waiting for our other guests to call in. We thank you for joining us on today's program. Hopefully you are able to hear me. If not, we will get this fixed and get everything going. And it is just another day of the week as we go into a tribal dilemma. What are the solutions for tribal members? Last week on our episode, we were talking about the tribal dilemmas which are being faced in some of our tribes, such as the Paiute tribe, and most particularly the tribe that I'm from and the others were from, the Kiowa tribe of Oklahoma. We have some issues that have been going on. Seems to be that our tribal government is being overlooked, or actually the people are being overlooked as they are trying to find ways to get our council, who are, well, they weren't really elected. They were elected and then recalled, and then we are trying to figure out how this solution can get fixed. And we do invite our other member, I do believe this is Mr. Lee Clarence. Lee, can you hear me?
Paul, I hear you now.
Oh, well, welcome to the show. We just kind of got our introduction going, Lee, for the precedents we set last week, talking about the issues that were going on within our tribe. We were kind of talking about the dilemmas that we're facing. We had different ones who were on the show, like Bear from the Paiute Nation, Billy, and you from the Kiowa Nation as well, me. And on topics you've been able to bring up with the outline that was given, but let's kind of fill back in a little bit before we go on. A little bit of summary of what we talked about last weekend, as we were talking about the preamble of our Constitution, how it works and what it was, and what are some other things that you remember and can recall from that conversation that we want to continue with this discussion.
Okay, last time we were on here, we touched up on the preamble and what it means to actually serve in an organization and to fulfill your responsibilities and the mission itself. And I compared that with my time when I took oath, you know, during the military, you know, with my time, you know, to uphold my responsibilities. And, you know, I took an oath, you know, in good faith to you know, do what I have signed up for, and furthermore, you know, do right by, you know, by people, you know, against enemies, foreign and domestic. So, and therefore, we talked about the preamble, but we talked about how those who have been recalled have not fulfilled their responsibilities, and if anything, they were direct from duty. And furthermore, our people, you know, continuously face the consequences each and every day, you know, due to, you know, them not, you know, abiding by what they took oath in office for.
That's a very important thing, because like I said, we read out that preamble. We kind of laid an outline or our foundation for what we were going to discuss and try to get some of these issues discussed a little bit more, because it is a pretty broad topic. Again, we're not the professional people, but we are citizens of our tribe who are very concerned and are looking for solutions, because that is the goal, correct, of why we're doing these basic discussions. And the key of these is finding solutions as a group of people, because that's the only way that we're going to solve this. Agreed?
Well, agreed. If anything, we identified the problems that we are encountered with, and we identify, you know, with the problems that exist within, you know, and we have already identified each and every day, and we continue to do so. The next step, you know, is to construct, you know, ways of, you know, how to fix these problems that are reoccurring within ourselves. Okay, and with that being said, we fix these problems, you know, caused by, you know, recalled KBC or, you know, whomever that, you know, held a position, you know, in office. You know, we fix these problems, you know, but I believe that it first starts with ourselves. Okay.
Yes.
Now it starts with ourselves. You know, and first of all, you know, I would like to see, as I indicated before, I would like to see more involvement, you know, to where, you know, our tribal members are actively attending KIC meetings. Our tribal members are actively, you know, registering to go out and vote, you know, to take interest, you know, and to be very concerned, you know, for the well-being of our people, rather than oneself, you know, be concerned of each and every one around you, rather than your own well-being. You know, I mean, like I said, we changed, you know, this type of attitude to where, you know, we become more empathetic rather than apathetic. Now, therefore, you know, we can do these things to where, you know, we construct solutions by working together, hand in hand, and brainstorming, you know, possible ideas of solution, and it's not, you know, take all the credit to whomever is right. You know, quite often I see, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. No, I'm right, you're wrong. You know, and with that, you know, they're just clashing, you know, and with clashing gets involved, you know, nothing, you know, progresses. You know, things, you know, continue to remain at a standstill. And therefore, you know, people continuously, you know, bicker and, you know, remain at odds with each other, you know, and nothing, you know, can get produced, you know. But the thing is, you know, we have to start with ourselves to where we're able to work together and actually listen to one another. You know, once we do that, you know, we can further progress, you know, to build, you know, and it's my emphasis on, you know, these key words I came up with one day, which all of us, you know, I would like all of us to share this emphasis on, is fix, maintain, and grow.
Those are some key aspects that we got to understand, fix, maintain, and grow, because as you brought out, we've got to start listening to one another. And the more we listen, the more we're going to identify that there's something wrong. And you and I, we've gotten together with others, with such as Billy and them. We understand, again, laying the foundation, we recall that the issue started with where we built a casino in Duval. And there was extra involvement that kind of took us not into the path that we wanted. And now it's led us to the situation we're at now. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know the situation of the particular issues of the Kiowa tribe, I would surely invite you to go and look into what's going on with them, because it's really an interesting thing to see how the workings of a government has actually come to a standstill, that the people who are actually supposed to be in charge, who are elected, who are then recalled, and who have now, what is it, 5 years since there's been a legal election? Yeah, there's been 5 years since a legal election has been held, that now there's thoughts as, is this a coup d'etat? Do you think that possibly the things that have happened with communication coming to a close, that nobody's had communication from these committee members, there's no committee, there's no information except what we can gather from one another, again, that's hearsay, that possibly a coup d'etat has happened? That's an interesting thought. You know, I threw that out before. What do you think about that? Do you think that's a possibility?
I think it's very possible, you know, and it's interesting how you mentioned communication, okay? Now, you know, I believe that effective communication is ultimately key. Now, the thing is, you know, effective communication, you know, enables us to produce, you know, very functionally and very thoroughly. Now, you know, what I see very often, what many of us see very often, is that it states in the Constitution, you know, clearly states that the Kiowa Indian Council, the KIC, is the governing body of our tribe. You know, so therefore, you know, the KIC is the overall factor, you know, above all, you know. But
yeah.
What I see very frequently is the KIC is often ignored, often overlooked, you know, and often disregarded, to where, you know, those who went about their way and interpret, you know, anything that they may or may not have read, you know, and they went about their way by overlooking KIC, for therefore they are in complete violation of our Constitution. Now, therefore, you know, as time progresses, you know, to where, you know, many of us are wondering, what are these, why are these problems, you know, occurring, and why they keep, you know, occurring? Why are we at a standstill, and why is nothing happening? And, you know, thing is, you know, with the coup d'etat, you know, now it seems as though that our tribe, you know, Kiowas, have been taken over by this coup d'etat, you know, to where they have to lawyer up and meet with the BIA in Oklahoma City, and to discuss, you know, to negotiate our election and our terms for election, you know. Now, like I said, if we followed us as Kiowa people, followed our Constitution like we should have, you know, I mean, much of this, you know, could have been rather prevented.
Yes, it could have been prevented. And Lee, we do have, I believe it's Bear, back on the line with us from the Paiute tribe. And again, they have they are not a casino tribe, is that correct, Bear? But you do have natural resources that you are trying to protect.
We're more of a natural resource based tribe. Meaning that monetarily we're poor, but ecologically we're rich.
Yes, very rich, because you have a really big, big river or lake that you guys got care of. And we're kind of, Jackson, to fill you in, we're kind of talking about, we're going over a little bit, summarizing what we were talking about last week, and there's some issues. We were talking about some of the things that we have issues within our tribe, and I don't know if you're familiar with our tribe, but we were discussing the issues of a possible coup d'etat. And a coup d'etat, you know, is a pretty basic way of taking over a tribe when you stop communication from coming. And I don't know, what do you think are some similarities that you guys are facing out in the Paiute tribe? Because do you guys get effective communications with your tribal committees, your elected officials? Because we've lost all communications from our committee members.
Oh, yeah, I think it's the same everywhere. I've been talking to my friend, his name's Wesley Dick, and we've been talking about how all of our tribes are basically corporate entities that are intertwined with the federal government. And so basically we're kind of just their slaves, to, you know, for them to make negotiations behind our back with the tribal council, because the council only answers to the council. They don't really answer to the people.
And so what are some other things, you know, let's get some more information about the Paiute tribe, because I'm really interested in the thing, because, you know, I've been looking at the Fish Springs Ranch settlement, and there's some interesting aspects to that that's going on, and I've been reading posts from different members and all this aspect. Let's kind of fill in others who might be listening in, what's going on with that you might want to share.
Well, it's the Pyramid Lake Paiute Tribe of Nevada. And if you look at it from, you know, a geological or geographical standpoint, we're a terminal lake, a desert terminal lake, at the end of the Truckee River, which is our main watershed. And so you can imagine that all the upstream users have been basically having us at a chokehold, where we have certain water rights, and all the water rights are allocated along the river. There's no, or appropriated is the right term. All the water rights are appropriate. The uses are appropriate, so there's no more uses. And then, so if you look, like right before the lake is the end of the line for all the water. And then, so our lake has basically been drying up since the European incursion. Our lake used to be twice the size. We used to have Winnemucca Lake, that the Truckee River kind of branched off into two big lakes, and now it's just known as Pyramid Lake because that's the last lake that's there. And it's like nobody even knows their history. That, you know, everyone keeps fighting for this lake, but it's like we already lost one lake, you know. So they keep people, you know, our membership keeps saying that, oh, the lake's always going to be there, this and that. I'm like, well, how do you figure? We have no water coming down the river, and now they're pumping at the north end of the lake. So how?
And how much
did
you say? And how much did you say? I think it's like 3.6 billion gallons. Is that what it was? Or trillion? That they're
You're just on my. You're just on my. I'm on my. So the way the Fish Springs settlement is worded is that the Fish Springs Ranch, which is owned by Vidler Water Company, is allowed to pump anywhere between 8,000 and 13,000 acre-feet of water a year. And so 13,000 acre-feet of water per year is over 2 trillion gallons.
Wow.
And so you can imagine. And then the only thing we got, I think it was like $8 million or something that – not the tribe. See, that's what I'm trying to move away from. The people keep relating the tribe to our tribal government, our tribal council. So I'm saying, no, we need to rip. We are the tribe. You know, our council is simply our voices. And so they already squandered more than half of the money and everything, and now we're only getting like a $400 payment. So they're trying to lock us into this. They're trying to lock us into this deal, saying, you know, when I talked to my vice chairman. His name's Alan Mandel, and he kind of smirks at me and says, well, this Fish Springs thing has been going on for years and years, you know, so how are you going to stop an act of Congress? Because, it's enacted in an act of Congress, this settlement, when we haven't even gone to court over it. I go, how are we going to settle? We didn't even go to court. And then so he kind of smirks and snickers at me when he's sitting up there on council, and I'm like, okay, well, let me ask you this. How do you get an act of Congress started then? You know, do you see where I'm coming from? I'm coming from the membership point. And he's sitting here talking down to me like I can't do anything about it, you know, because it's already a done deal. And the tribe didn't even vote on this, you know. And I say the tribe, I mean the tribal membership. 2,500, over 2,500 members did not even vote on this, but our council waived their rights over a telephone call. They said, this is a good deal. We need to hop on this. They're saying the deal is going to expire. And we need to sign off on it. So what went along with that poll vote was they waived our rights. They said that the federal government being our trust, you know, us being in a trust responsibility status, and the federal government is a trustee, you know, we are trustees basically of the government. They did an environmental impact statement, and it said that the Fish Springs pumping of the water will have a negative impact on the lake level. And that after our hunting and fishing, our gathering, all the stuff that are our inherent rights are affected, we won't be able to go back and sue them for this. And we won't be able to sue Fish Springs or, you know, Vidler for any other further, you know, pumping projects. Because part of the deal was is they have, Vidler they bought land all around the lake now. So this sets a precedent saying that, okay, well, they're letting us go through with this, so who's to say that we can't start pumping over here on the south end of the lake, in Lake Winnemucca?
Man.
So, I mean, you can see why people are – for me, I'm pissed right now, you know, and our government or our council just snickers. I mean, we have a couple people up there that are, you know, they're supportive of the members and everything, but for the most part, they're not, you know. I mean, what's one person's vote going to do in, you know, six people's vote? You know, when it comes down to it. They already took our money.
Man. So you just said there's similarities to that. Think out some of the similarities that you heard in Jackson and the Paiute tribes and how it's similar to what the Kiowa tribe has got going on.
Well, it's plain simple, you know. I mean, just like I said, you know, our governing body, you know, gets overlooked to where those who are in office, they just go about their own without, you know, any recognition to our KIC. And, you know, they go about their own, and, you know, then it causes an uproar, you know, nonetheless, you know, to where you know, where were we as KIC members, you know, in on this, you know? When were we ever informed, you know? And furthermore, you know, what happens there is, you know, they tend, it just goes to show that they have no regard for KIC. They have no regard for our people in general. And then it comes down to, you know, financial gain, to where, you know, where they look out for themselves, and to where, you know, they continuously do so, to where they don't even represent, you know, Kiowa anymore. And like I said, you know, back in the, to reflect back in the old traditional ways, you know, I mean, and to make comparison, and I think when did we start being greedy, you know, and when did we start thinking about ourselves as an individual rather than as a whole, you know, as people in general, you know? I mean, the ideal concept, you know, of being Kiowa is to think about, you know, our customs, our culture, and anything associated, which means, you know, not be, you know, think about yourself and stealing from one another, and, you know, telling lies to one another, and then try to overstep, you know, your boundaries, to where, you know, and then disregard, you know, certain entities, to, you know, where it causes, you know, nothing but massive chaos, you know. I mean, when did we start, you know, going about that way? You know, as far as I know, as I've been taught, you know, growing up, you know, that was not the intent, you know. And to uphold a position, that should not be an intent as well, you know, to have disregard, you know, for the people, and then start thinking about yourselves, going about your own way, and then pretty much just collecting a paycheck, you know. And like I said, you know, these problems can be fixed, okay? Now, with that being said, they can be fixed to get our tribe back in the functional order, you know. But the thing is, we have to look at ourselves and amend, you know, whatever is needed with our constitution, and, you know, take things, you know, that we need, and bring back, you know, our programs that we need. The thing is, we have to be, you know, be willing to get involved, and not, you know, be so apathetic towards one another, to where, you know, many of us, you know, tend to not get involved with tribal, just because, you know, they see it as tribal politics, and for whatever reason, they have no tendency, you know, to get involved, but yet they want to put their hand out and say, what's in it for me, you know, which, you know, I'm still trying to figure out even to this day. But like I said, yeah, there are similarities, you know. With that being said, there are similarities of, you know, those who should not be overlooked in accordance to documentation, and in accordance to, you know, just as, you know, a tribe in general.
Have you guys looked at your guys' constitution? Like I said, all these IRA, Indian Reorganization Act constitutions are basically cookie cutter constitutions. And for instance, ours, the way that it's worded is that when we basically vote on something, you only need I think it's a third of the amount of registered voters to vote on something. In order to get something passed. So basically what we've been doing is we've been disenrolling people because we don't have enough houses here on the res. So what's your next option when you have, you know, a bunch of kids? You move off of the res and you move to Reno, then, you know, another area or something like that, then you lose all your voting rights. So you're basically not even a member anymore. Your say doesn't say, you don't have any say because you don't live on the res.
And I do believe ours is a little bit worded differently, because in our preamble, in our constitution, it does tell us, no matter where we are in the United States, we have a voice as Kiowa people. But I want to, before we go any farther and address that, I want to talk about what you brought up, Bear, and what Lee alluded to, was these corporation-style governments. And with the IRA, saying that, so they might be saying, listening in after that. But it is a very, we've inherited corruption from the people who told us that we're supposed to be this way. Do you think that's part of the reasons why we have these type of governments being corrupt as they are? Because that's who we, look, that's who we learn our governments from. That's who we're told we're supposed to follow after. Do you think those are some of the issues that we're not really addressing for our people?
Yeah, I'd say you're spot on because, you know, our government, they try to hide behind sovereign immunity, and then now that we're doing a little research, is that they can be charged with, charged as individuals for violating my rights. Because my rights have been violated by them waiving it for me. You can't waive somebody else's rights. So my rights have been waived, you know, without my permission.
Wow.
How are you going to waive my rights?
And it's probably because you're voicing, you know, like I said, we're supposed to have democratic societies. And it's probably, like you said, the research we're doing, the information we're looking up, is just trying to, like everybody else would, to protect our own rights. But when you're sitting there counting like, hey, you're violating these, the easiest way that I see, especially with corporations and studying business, they call that retaliation. It's against the law. But people do it anyways because they find ways around it, basically by finding lawyers who will find law cases so they can get away with it. Is that something that you guys have to as well, Bear?
No, because, you know, our human rights are the supreme law of the land. You know, I've been kind of researching maritime law, and if you look at, you know, the UCC codes and all that kind of stuff like that, we pretty much operate under those, and that's commercial law. But what they're violating,
yeah,
is my common law, you know, my right to breathe free air, drink clean water, you know, not have my rights voted away for me. And so there's different types of laws that the government that they operate under.
Wow.
And then they try to adhere us to it.
Right.
Crazy.
You know, I believe that the source of all this, all the turmoil that exists and all the ongoing problems that we encounter, you know, the source is from the federal government. And with the IRA, the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934 being mentioned, it somewhere it states that the way I read it and interpret it, you know, our tribal document are supposed to, you know, replicate, you know, the documents of the United States government. You know, our Constitution is supposed to have that, you know, type of outline, that type of structure, you know, to where it pretty much, you know, replicates them, you know. And, but we do it our own way, as we should anyway. However, our Constitution, you know, it was approved in 1970, I believe, and it consists of, our Constitution is not that much in length, so where, you know, I believe I've read it multiple times, and it's straightforward, you know, and to the point. But many of mine have, you know, developed their own interpretations of our tribal constitution, or have not even taken knowledge of the Constitution. Now, I believe that, you know, everything that we see, just about everything that we see all around, the way we live, you know, in opposed to the way our ancestors lived, you know. I mean, yeah, the federal government is an influence of that, to where we pretty much, you know, adopted their ways, and whether we realize it or not, you know, and whether we like to admit it or not, we adopted their ways to where we believe that we could do, you know, certain things, you know, even if it's illegal, and get away with it. As I learned before, you know, with the treaties, right? And there was a case, you know, think it was Lone Wolf versus Hitchcock, and Lone Wolf, you know, went to Congress about this, and but he was overruled. And here's how he was overruled. He was overruled with plenary powers. The plenary
yes.
powers of Congress, you know, which means, you know, even though you're right, you know, you're still overruled. It's pretty much saying, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. Even if I'm wrong, I'm still right, you know. And I encountered that. I've encountered that quite frequently in the military, believe it or not, you know. And with the hierarchy and the chain of command, you know, it's the factor of, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. Even if I'm wrong, I'm still right, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a very interesting concept to think about, you know, and it seems to be influenced among, you know, our people and other tribal people, you know, to this day, to where
yeah.
we ourselves are pretty much a mimic of them, you know.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Even when we try not to be, you know. So that's where the source comes in. Now, myself, I don't believe, you know, I would say that, you know, I don't believe, you know, in the ways of the federal government, and I do not believe to adopt their ways, you know. And I don't believe, you know, that I need them to even determine that I'm Kiowa, you know. I don't need, you know, no specific documentation to state that, you know, regardless, you know. Neither did,
yeah.
did our ancestors, you know. But the
yeah.
thing is, you know, these days, you know, many of us have assimilated to the point that many of us really, we don't know any other way, you know. And we're living in today's society. We're living in today's society to where we, you know, are not susceptible to anything else, you know. And many of us are pretty much set in our ways, you know. That's one of the main concerns that some of us, you know, have, you know, quite frequently.
And before I let we go on, Jackson, did you have anything else that you wanted to say?
Yeah, I think Lee was alluding to was that I think the exact wordage for plenary power is Congress has the right to abrogate any treaty it sees fit, is the exact wording. So that's
wow.
the plenary power that he's talking about.
Exactly.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go back to another point because you both alluded to this word, and Jackson, you kind of didn't allude it into the way Lee brought it out, but apathy. Do you think that's part of the problem of the way we're set up as governments, that it causes us to be apathetic, to not want to try to do more? And do you think that's some of the issues that our tribe is very apathetic, because you brought out a point that you need only about, what, a quarter of people to vote? That's about the same way as our tribe. So out of 12,000 people, they only need 400 people to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said,
is our status is at a ward to its governor. It's we're a trustee status, you know. So we're
yeah.
looked at as a child to its ward.
Yeah. Because I don't know about you, Jackson, and how you guys are vote and when you guys vote, but I do know Lee and our tribe within our past couple of elections that we have, our known numbers don't even go over 400. That means we, out of 12,000 people within our own tribe, look at this, Jackson, 12,000 of them, we can barely get 400 people to vote. That means that's about as big as my whole family is, 400 people. And
yeah,
that tells you the apathy about how they face in our tribe, because it's just, I don't know if they feel that they're not going to make a difference or their voices aren't being heard. And I don't know, I can't speak for the Paiute language, but I do know that apathy is really settled into our tribe. And as Lee brought out earlier, that, you know, they just want this give me status, or what are they going to do for me? And if they're not going to do anything, why vote? And that's the problem where the Kiowas faces. What are the issues that you guys face? Do you guys have that issue when it comes to those? Because, like I said, we haven't even had a legal election in 5 years.
Well, you know what? If you think about it, see, I sit on the election committee and I'm our board, and I've been trying to ask them, well, why isn't it that every single tribal member has the right to vote, whether or not they live on the reservation? And I guess they had a secretarial election sometime in years back, and nobody voted on that. Like, people could have went, and everybody was allowed to vote on that, on allowing people who didn't, non-residents of the reservation start.
Wow.
To start be able to vote on these issues, and it didn't pass because nobody voted on it. I've been on the election committee for probably about, I don't know, going on maybe a year now, and I'm starting to learn all this stuff right now. You know, like I actually have to take time off and go in, time off of my day job, you know, to go in and try to make a difference by sitting on these committees and everything like that. And I think I'm the only person who has a degree who sits on my committee.
Wow.
Well, you know what's crazy? Hey, you know what's crazy also is that in order to sit on these committees, you're supposed to be a resident too of the reservation, and there's people who don't live on the reservation either in the sitting on these committees.
Interesting.
Wow. So we say hi gain in our language, hi gain, just do it anyway. And it's not, I mean, that's how it basically is with our costs. We just do things in any kind of way. And that's the difference between our tribe. That's really the neat that you bring that up, because you guys don't allow people, even though they're still technically members of your tribe, they don't live on the reservation, they can't vote. That's pretty weird, because, you know, Lee, when you was in the military, I'm pretty sure you were still allowed to vote overseas, right?
Oh, yeah, as an absentee, yes, that is correct.
Yeah, and that's how we Kiowas are, you know. That's the thing about us. When we started throwing red flags, we stopped getting our absentee ballots. And that's when we thought, hey, we're not being represented anymore, or we're not being heard because our votes, they're not allowing us to vote. And that's really an eye-opener, Bear, that you bring that out, because, wow, that's unheard of, that they wouldn't allow people who are members of the tribe who don't live on the reservation to vote. But again, I guess that's the makeup of the constitutions, correct?
Yeah. And it keeps like certain family members in charge, you know. If you know, you think that, okay, well, when a few houses are being built, they only give their vote, you know, their family, you know, houses, so they can stay here and they can get the vote, you know. Why would you not vote for somebody who gave you a house?
Exactly. Holy moly.
Yeah.
So we've kind of touched base. We picked up there's problems, as you can both agree, and I'll agree with it, that there's problems that we have within our tribes. And like I say, we're only two tribes that we're talking about. There's probably more tribes than Jackson. You probably know other people in other tribes that, like, man, we've got these issues going on, and we've been reviewing and trying to get to the issues of why we're having these troubles. So let's go on to what are solutions. What are some of the solutions that you've been able to work toward, Jackson? Like I say, you've got people you know who are helping you try to find solutions. Lee, you and others are working very hard around the Kiowa area to do things. What are some things that you think, but like I say, by opinion, that would help fix these issues that are going through? Whichever you want to start.
Go ahead, Lee.
Well, Okay, as I said, we identified our problems that exist. Now, to move to the next step, move forward, you know, to construct solutions. As I said, you know, it happens with ourselves to, you know, get more involved and listen to one another rather than, you know, determine that each of us, you know, has the right answer, okay? Now, I mean, who's to say that, you know, we're right? You know, for all that we know, we could all be wrong, you know. But, you know, we want to you know, come up with solutions that are viable, that can be actually be produced, you know, to get things in working order. Now, we want to construct, you know, attainable solutions, you know, and the most efficient at best, you know. And that's when you weigh out the possibilities, you know, of a particular, you know, aspect. You know, you weigh out possibilities to where, you know, if this doesn't work, perhaps this will. And it clearly emphasizes on trial and error, kind of like, you know, factoring. But thing is, it also goes with, you know, probability. You also have to, you know, reach out and take a good look at, you know, the probability aspect of such, you know. Now, you know, many times, you know, there are many people who ask me, you know, what's the plan and you know, what exactly are you going to do? What are the details, you know? Like I said, you know, this is where it starts, you know, and everything else, you know, can flow through. Now, as I said, when you put pieces, you know, of a puzzle together or build something, you know, out of infrastructure, you know, I mean, these things, you know, you'll see the outcome of the results, you know, once it's nearly completed, or even, you know, when you see the arithmetic progression of such, you know. And like I said, you know, these all go with this thing that I have presented, you know, time and time again, even when I was teaching my classes, you know, which is, you know, pretty much integration by parts. Now, with that being said, you know, we are all the parts that make up the entire integration based on, you know, integration and differentiation, knowing that, you know, each of us as an individual are different and unique. You know, however, we can integrate with one another to where, you know, we can produce, you know, quality results. Now, with that being said, possible solutions, you know, to strengthen ourselves is to look backtrack of what has, you know, been caused, what caused the dilemma exactly. And this also goes with, you know, links together with my post about facts versus hearsay, okay? Facts are more reliable. Facts are not to be argued with, you know? I mean, facts are straight up, okay? Now, hearsay we can always keep in mind, but, you know, going by hearsay, you know, can present a false representation to where you can be believed by it, although it's rather deceiving, you know. Now, with that being said, you know, you put these things together to where you can develop a solution and move forward into the positive direction, you know, even if you want to approach, you know, positive infinity, which I believe we shall set ourselves up to do. Now,
yeah,
you know, yeah, because with that, you know, you identify, even if you have to reflect back, you know, the things that occurred, I mean, you have a more thorough idea of what needs to be fixed, okay? And then, you know, once you do that, once you're able to solve for, you know, smaller elements, you can move on, you know, to evaluate and inspect your progress to where, you know, you can maintain and then further expand. But we focus on the phase to fix our problems at hand, you know, but it starts with ourselves, and we have to incorporate, you know, a much more productive attitude, you know, you know, ourselves are actively involved and, you know, not so hostile toward one another and attacking, you know, one another's credibility and not, you know, representing only yourself rather than do it for the people.
That doesn't happen. People don't attack his credibility. Do that.
Hey, whoa, hold on a second now. Would you say that? Okay, I ran for council the first time last year, and I expected people to be talking trash and everything like that about my past. My past isn't checkered or anything. My past is pretty much an open book. You know, I used to drink a lot, and I got DUIs and stuff like that, and I went to jail and, you know, did the time for them, and, you know, that was it. Moved on with my life, you know, and people want to paint me as a notorious individual. You know, if I'm so notorious, where'd I find the chance
you know, the, okay, so I'll just tell you guys what happened. Okay, so somebody came up and they're laughing, like, you see what somebody did? I was like, what? Well, they posted your mugshot down at the two post offices on the res. I was like, are you serious? And I went down, and I, sure enough, there was mine, and then there was our ex vice chairman side by side, because somebody, or his dad, asked me if I would run for vice chairman. I think I did, but yeah, I did run for vice, and he made billboards and stuff with both of our things on it, like we were running on a joint ticket. I was like, no, I'm running as an independent. I didn't ask for you guys to do this. I didn't ask for this. And then so when I went up in front of council one time, you know, I was, you know, pleading my case about, you know, waiving our rights and stuff. And then they were accusing me of misrepresenting the tribe. And I was like, wow. No, I'm not misrepresenting the tribe. I'm not even an elected official. I go, you guys are misrepresenting the tribe because you guys waived my right on this thing.
Wow.
You didn't ask me. And then so he goes, well, maybe I should bring your mugshot up here and show everybody, you know, what your mugshot looks like and the other vice chairman and stuff like that. I was like, well, wait, maybe we should bring yours up here. I go, you know what? I'm a lot of things in life. I go, but one thing I am, I've never beat a woman, and I've never smoked meth. And I go, which one of those are you? Because he used to be, I think, our chairman, and they actually had to bail him out of jail in order to come and take his oath of office when he got elected. Yeah, and so you could see what that fake here on this reservation, if people are willing to go to those lengths to try to, you know, make me look like a loony or something like that. But one thing, after I got through saying that, I said, you know what, you guys could sit here and tear me down, whichever one of you guys is doing it, maybe some of you, maybe all of you, but one thing you can't take away is you can't take away my 3 degrees, you can't take away my All-American wrestling status, and, you know, you can't take that, and that makes up who I am, not what you think I am. And, you know, everybody kind of shut the hell up after that, you know, and I was like, everybody here has a past. I go, everybody here has a past. I go. Everybody sits here and talks about Indian reservations and how everybody drinks and drugs and everything like that. I go, but who were the people who taught the younger generation to do that? I was like,
exactly.
It was probably you guys. You guys are in that generation right before me.
Wow. So yeah, like I said, that's the productive attitude that you brought up, Lee, that we need to have about trying to find solutions, working towards solutions and things like that. So, Jackson, you said you ran for council and everything for that. What are some things that you've actually got to learn in trying to work for these solutions and trying to work for a better government? Because that's what it's about. We're doing these discussions. We're doing these because we're trying to help find solutions. We don't want to stay in these positions where we're at, where we're electing people based on who they are instead of what they're actually able to do, which is make us viable. We're supposed to be growing. To me, I think we're supposed to be growing economically and being something so we can leave something for the future. That's why we have these constitutions. That's why we do these things. So what are some things that you think that can help in finding these solutions?
I mean, now that I think about it, I really have utilized my education since I've been back. I was talking to my friends, and there's a group of us who work together and on these tribal issues and stuff like that. And we actually have done a lot of things. We've set up community meetings and everything. And I think where I've been lacking is I really think that I haven't really thrown out my education out there. I'll throw it out on here, you know, but I think something's been holding me back as far as to throw it out there, because I've always been like a man of the people, you know. Like when I came back from high school, I didn't just start going up and hanging out with the tribal council and stuff like that. I was still at the parties, you know. I was kicking back and letting people know what I learned and everything and what needs to be done. But as far as what I've done with our group and everything is we basically formed our own political party, now that I think about it. And I was saying that. I said we need to form our own political party because basically everybody here just votes for their families just because, you know, their uncle sat on council and he knows, you know, tribal, but does he know business? Has he ever been off this reservation? Has he ever done anything that wasn't linked to tribal funds, you know? Like, has he ever had to go out on a limb and get a job off of the reservation and survive basically on his own work ethic?
No, you know, these people have basically just been voted in and have sat there and been babied up here. And so our main issues, what we concentrate on, is our lake levels, our water quality, not selling our resources. But we come and find out that these guys have been for instance, there's this water rights acquisition program that the council's been involved in, and I don't know if it's the landlord that's telling the people this, but basically the government through a grant gave us money to acquire water rights so that we can sustain our lake levels and the levels of the Kentucky River, which is a basic inflow. And so he goes and tells us, or I was at one of the meetings, and he says that, okay, when you guys buy the land, you acquire the water rights and you guys sell the land. Otherwise, you guys have to pay taxes on it. I was like, hold on a second now. Why would we do that? I go, if anything, all we have to do is put it in trust and it becomes a part of the reservation. You know, that becomes our land. And so when they're selling it, who knows who they're selling it to? You know, it could be our upstream users who've been strangleholding the tribe all these years. That invites Reno and the municipal and industrial complex to start moving down the river and basically take over the reservation and our resources. You know,
and so
I don't know. I haven't read this grant or anything, but I'm thinking this guy's lying. He has to be, because why would you just buy a piece of land, take the water rights, acquire the water rights, and then sell the land? If we put it in trust for the tribe, it becomes the reservation, and we start creeping up river and start acquiring those lands because we have more water rights up there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense that we should do. You brought up a good point, Jackson, when you were talking about political groups bringing in your own, starting your own little parties instead of having relatives going off of, because we are a tribe. We have that similar issue. We have people who are talking about what their relatives did in the past instead of what can be done today and why they need to do it. And that's how we're voting. That's why we vote that way, which, you know, it's detrimental. It's very detrimental because we're trying to live off of somebody else's glory. It does not work that way. Life does not work off of somebody else's glory. We have to set our path straight. And man, that's such a great point that you made, that we're going, you know, looking to those solutions. Lee, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, we have, we take pride in who we are, okay? And quite often, we take pride in our past, you know? But yet, we don't get involved, you know, to strengthen ourselves, you know, in these modern times, you know, which I think we should. You know, the thing is that with what has been said and what has been heard of, you know, okay, and like I said, that goes with my spiel about, you know, facts versus hearsay. I like to rely on the facts, you know. I never want to go by hearsay, and I never really cared for it, you know. I can always keep in mind, but with factual information, you know, I have it in place, you know. It cannot be disputed, you know. And it pretty much, you know, but like I said, you know, anybody can say something, you know, but we have to ensure it's absolute, you know. And we have to ensure that it's certain, you know. And like I said, you know, I noticed that, you know, with all the apathy that comes in, that we see, you and I, and many of us, you know, see very frequently, that, you know, like I said, things, you know, were not simple, you know, during the times of our ancestors. You know, life was difficult, but life was, you know, more organized and well structured. You know, now it seems as though we're enduring, you know, difficulties, you know, in these modern times, to where we're at the point to where it's unmanageable. You know, and the thing is, with the apathy that comes in, you know, some of us, you know, just don't care. Some of us, you know, want to do it their own way. And like I said, you know, some of us, you know, don't even, you know, give it a thought. You know, like I said, But these things, these are the initial, you know, things that can be addressed. And like I said, there is ways to address these. We just have to look at ourselves, you know, first, and then, you know, be aware of our capabilities, which many of us, you know, believe that, you know, we're unable to, which I believe that we are, as I've seen it amongst many of our people. And like I said, you know, we should take pride in our own traditional ways from the times of our ancestors, but, you know, we should also intertwine that, you know, with being productive in the workforce and being productive, you know, to strengthen ourselves with a vast amount of education, you know, for these modern times. You know, that's how modernization should be, you know, rather than being apathetic, you know, complaining to one another or attacking one another or, you know, criticizing, things like that, you know, or self-destructive, you know. Like I said, you know, we can be at our best, you know, and hopefully better than ever. You know, that's what I would like to envision anyway, you know. And like I said, these things, you know, it may be difficult, but it's not impossible.
I agree with everything that Lee said. And I'll freely admit that I've engaged in every single one, everything that he's talked about.
Me too.
Yeah, I've engaged in all of that, you know.
Well, thank you.
Feeling sorry for myself and everything. But, you know, and then I also agree with him saying that we need to educating ourselves, whether it's over the internet or whatever. And this is kind of my disclaimer as far as anybody calling me a racist or anything. You know, I kind of say this tongue-in-cheek because I got a hell of a lot of white friends and stuff that, you know, they see my Facebook stuff and they know what I've been through. But Facebook is the worst thing to happen to an Indian since the white man. As far as hearsay and talking bad about each other, getting in these Facebook wars and everything like that.
The keyboard warriors, as they call them. It's easy to open up on the keyboard. The keyboard warriors. It's easy to open up, hiding behind a screen behind us, but actually standing up in front of, you know, that's the one thing you brought out, Jackson. I've gone up and I stood in front of our council. I've asked questions. I've seen the reaction of our elders when they asked the questions that they wanted people to ask. And, you know, it's one of those things that we have to take educating ourselves. And it's one of those things that we have to start paying attention to. You know, we all have, all of us, me, you, and Lee, have children. The reason why we're paying attention to it is because we have to give our children something for the future. And if we don't start fixing and working for solutions to the problems that we're having, we're going to continue having these problems because we're not trying to fix them. We're trying to keep pointing fingers and we're trying to say this is, and the hearsay is the worst that we have. And it's just trying to get the facts out. It's trying to find this information, which is key for us to make sure we're thriving in the future. That's what we got to find and work for solutions, you know, where, you know, we talked about education. The education we get isn't for us. It's to help benefit so we can help others grow. And maybe that's something that we have to do better at. Do you think?
Oh. Yeah, well, you know, with Facebook, okay, now what I noticed, you know, what Bear's saying about Facebook, and I agree to a point, you know. And the thing is, you know, Facebook, it's a give or take, you know. And lately, you know, quite often, many of our tribal members have noticed that I've been posting some, you know, thought-provoking things in Facebook to where some of them makes them stop and think, you know. And where others, you know, they just tend to overlook it and disregard. You know, that's fine too. But the thing is, you know, what I'm trying to do, and it started with the Facebook. You know, I'm trying to get get our people to understand, you know, the significance of unity, if anything, you know. I mean, the significance of, you know, what it means, you know, to actually be, you know, Kiowa, you know, and try to get them to reflect on and acknowledge, you know, what was versus what is, you know. But, you know, like I said, you know, it can't be, and like I said, it's like gambling, you know. It could, you know, work in everyone's favor, or it could work, you know, against, you know, like I said, you know. But you, when you actually go beyond Facebook, which is, you know, I mean, actually carry on, you know, live conversations such as this or in person, you know, I mean, it's very possible that you can reach out, you know, to those that you're seeking to reach out to. And I've done it when I was teaching my classes, you know, when I was teaching at community colleges. You know, like I said, it was my objective to catch the learner's interest, you know. And you can determine that based on, you know, right here and there, based on their physical appearance, you know. But Facebook, you know, it can be rather misconstrued, which I sometimes feel like I take a great risk, you know, for even, you know, posting anything. But like I said, you know, I'll try to reach out to our people in any form necessary, you know. But like I said, with that being said, when you actually hold on, you know, conversation, and, you know, that goes beyond Facebook and confirm, you know, what you're about, and strengthen, you know, our tribe, and strengthen our tribal government as well as our assets, you know, then, you know, like I said, you can be prepared for anything, you know, knowing that you have your objective set in place. You know, you can even be prepared for attacks, you know. And these were well thought of, well planned out, you know, many months ago. And like I said, you allow yourself, you know, enough time to think, you know, before you act, which, you know, reflects back to the first safety rule.
Jackson, you got anything to add on that?
Yeah, I agree with Lee, but no, I wasn't like literally saying that, you know, Facebook sucks. I love Facebook, you know, because I do the same thing that Lee does. I engage people in conversation and make them think. Like I think that I make people think so much that it pisses them off. You know, when I say we're not even Indians anymore, and I say that, so I want people to say, you know, what they think an Indian is. You know, do we speak our own language anymore? Not many of us do. That's what I'm moving towards. Is I want to start speaking my own language fluently. You know, I when I first moved to the Reds out here and everything like that, it's like I would ask people, you know, like how to say stuff, and all the kids, they're more interested in speaking Ebonics, learning other languages in their own language, you know. And I think that's what we have to do, is turn around, look at ourselves, and look at the necessary changes that we need to move forward and, you know, keep our traditions going.
I think you make a really good point there, Bear, about our languages and stuff, because in reality, Lee and Jackson, if we both spoke our own tribal languages and we did things in our own tribal fashions through our languages, do you think the issues we have would be a little bit different because of how we interpret them then? Because our languages would then allow us to listen to who we are closer to our traditions, to why we're speaking that language. Because, again, this language we're speaking, it doesn't belong. This language I'm speaking, it doesn't belong to me. It was a new addition that my father had to learn, his mother and them had to learn forcefully through boarding schools and such. And you know, they're trying to eradicate. Lee, you're starting to learn how to speak our language pretty good. And, you know, do you think that's a difference that can help people, especially with solutions that we're looking for today, going back to our own languages, making sure that we're teaching them to our children so they can actually better ourselves for the future? What do you think?
Well, yeah, that's why.
Thank you.
Bijak.
I think. Yeah. Good, Bear.
Yeah. I don't know any phrases or anything like that. I just know like words and stuff like that. So I went as far as to name my. I just had a son born August 27th, and so I went as far as to name him Padua Nosid, which is my middle name, Bear Dreamer in Paiute. And then so everyone's like, oh, well, why are you naming him that? And this, and I go, because we're Indian. We're supposed to be having Indian names and stuff like that. I go, you think that I'm BSing when I say that we need a cultural revolution or a cultural renaissance or something like that? You think I'm just coming here and those are just empty words coming out of my mouth? Like, I'm trying to practice what I preach, you know? I want my kids to start learning their languages and stuff like that. I'm four different tribes, and I want them to start learning all of the languages. You know, and then so that's what I've been saying. You know, I've been saying like "Kima," come here, and probably to my other little guys and stuff like that, and telling them to come here, and you know whatever, and you know little stuff. It's a little, and you'll always hear the people who are apathetic and everything like that saying, "Well, we need this in our schools because this tribe over here has this kind of language program." I'm like, hold on a second now. Now you're saying that we need that in order for our kids to speak our language? I go, no, that starts in the house, you know? Like, when you learn your language, you learned it from whoever was telling you, your grandma or your grandpa or your mom or whoever was raising you more. They were the ones who were, speaking to you like that. But you hear that, you always get the apathetic attitude. We need this because this tribe has this kind of language program. And I'm the first one to say, hold on a second now. Change starts from within. Same starts in your own house on how you teach your kids and everything like that. Don't be like saying that, we're always playing the poor Indian, like, well, okay, so since we need this language program, we better write a grant. Yeah, that's good and all, but the language thing and all that kind of stuff, our morals, our values, everything starts in the house. You can see the way kids act, when they're undisciplined, when they're, I see it in a lot of families. A lot of people, whether it's white, black, or whatever, is that parents always want for their children the things that they never had, And then so you see parents spoil their kids with all the toys in the world and everything like that. I do the complete opposite. If I explain to them why you have to do the dishes, why it's important that you do well in school, why you want to go to school and do something that you enjoy doing, because then it's less like work. You don't want, you want to try to make some money, some decent amount of money, but are you going to be happy working 60 hours a week and with a fat ass paycheck, or are you going to go to work and enjoy what you do for 8-10 hours a day, come home and enjoy yourself? I try to explain that to my kids like that.
Yeah, that's really key. I really appreciate your point of the cultural revolution, because I believe you put up something from Crazy Horse about seeing seven generations of a change, and I believe that's what we're looking for. That's why we're having this discussion. Lee, what did you want to add to that point?
I believe speaking language, our own tribal language, is an advantage. It's an advantage. Reason why I say that, it's an advantage, to purely define, one of the elements that purely define who we are and where we come from, and also, take pride in who we are. For therefore, I don't disagree with speaking English, and I think English is a good language that is utilized amongst, many others. I mean, in other words, I'm saying, if it wasn't for English, we wouldn't be able to communicate with other tribes, or anyone else, non-natives, whatever. But like I said, speaking language is ideal. My grandmother, teaches the Kiowa language class, on every Thursday in Anadarko, and as I was growing up, I picked up words, here and there from my grandmother and whomever, everybody seems that I'm fluent in the Kiowa language. I'm not very fluent like everybody assumes. I just know what I know. But like I said, we we can very much, you know, utilize that. And it specifies in our Constitution, you know, that we can each other in English or our own, you know, tribal language, you know, and there's no objections to that, you know. But like I said, it's speaking our language, you know, it is who we are, you know, and it's part of who we are and what we live by, you know. And like I said, I recently seen a Facebook site about speaking tribal language, you know, which, you know, I'm very, you know, very happy it's going on, you know. But like I said, it serves as an advantage, you know, for us. And like I said, we can talk amongst ourselves in that regard, you know. And not only that, you know, it you know, keeps us in tune of our customs, you know, as we should be anyway, you know. So speaking language, I'm all for it, and I believe it's never too late to learn, you know. And like I said, you know, like I said, I always acknowledge, you know, very often my great grandfather, you know, Charlie Whitehorse, he never spoke a word of English, you know. And just said that he refused to, you know, because, you know, he was very traditional that way, you know. But like I said, you know, I don't object to speaking English, you know, for therefore we can communicate with others, you know, in that aspect. But, you know, speaking language, I very much encourage, you know, those, you know, to get more involved in learning our language. And like I said, you know, it is a part of who we are, you know, overall.
Yeah.
All.
Exactly. And you know, before we go into this final point, we'll kind of recap a little bit, because we were talking about the issues that we started with. You know, our tribes are going through dilemmas. We have things up within our political issues, where that's what we're saying. We're not saying traditional. We're not saying those kind of things. Those might be under attack as well, but we're talking strictly politics, political issues, the things that we've identified that are going on, and basically within the Kiowa tribe, where, you know, our Constitution has kind of been ignored basically for the past 5 years, working to solutions to how we fix it. And, you know, you both brought up good points about our languages being important, the things we teach each other, what we're learning and how we do it. Jackson, you brought up the good point of cultural revolution, which is key. Maybe that's what it needed. Our tribes need a cultural revolution to start standing up. But that leads us to where we are, you know, today in our political aspect. And Jackson, we don't know about how you guys run in your elections and how well you guys do, but I did allude to the issues we have when we go into the polling stations for our tribe. We tend to vote toward those who say, hey, you're my family, come vote for me, as opposed to, well, these are the issues that we're running on, and this is why we think you should vote for it. And we're trying to run into our elections. Why is it important, Lee? Because this is the third and final point that we're going to end on our show, because we've got the last 15 minutes to talk about elections. Why is it important that our tribe try to force an election? Go ahead, Lee. Enlighten us a little bit.
Paul, well, here's the thing. The topics that we covered, you know, the problems that we face, and, you know, the solutions we try to develop, all right, in effort. Now, it is important for us to have elections, because nothing can be done without that taking place first. We have all kinds of ideas. We have ideas for solutions and ideas for solutions in the short term and long term. But I'm going to tell you right now, nothing can be done without an election. And each and every day, as I observe, and I don't think I stand alone in this, you know, we see our tribe, you know, at a decline status. We're at the worst than we ever been. And each and every day, you know, if I could draw a graph, you know, I would draw, you know, the line going, you know, downhill. And going downhill to the negative direction. Now, like I said, we should have our election, and we should have our election, you know, like immediately, you know. And with that being said, it is important, you know, to have an election. And those who to be in it, it's important to have this election for our people, for the well-being of our people, for the principle of the matter, you know, to acknowledge that, you know, we can make a difference, to acknowledge, to see, you know, change being produced, change for the better in the positive direction. And like I said, you know, there should be no complication, you know, of, you know, holding back, you know, from having an election. And the election is where it starts. Now, you know, we need elections. We need election, as I said, for the well-being of our people. We need election, you know, to happen, you know, so we can produce, you know, what we need to strengthen ourselves, to fix the problems, and to maintain and to expand from there. We need election to address, you know, any underlying issues that concern us, you know, and we'll be prepared. We need this election to happen, you know, for, you know, overall, you know, for the well-being of our people. We need this election, you know, right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. Jackson, you got any thoughts on and how, I don't know how you guys exactly do anything in elections, but why is it important that people pay attention to what's going on and actually go out and be a part of these election process?
Everything that Lee said. And I'll let you know what we've been doing is we've been utilizing our Constitution. For instance, we wanted to get rid of one of our lawyers in particular. His name is Don Springmeier. And so we got a petition going, and we only need a third of the registered voters to vote. And so we got everybody on the petition. We wanted a referendum vote on getting rid of him and our hydrologist, because we think that they're in collusion to basically they're not working in our best interest. Basically, what it comes down to. And so, you know, because he was involved in the Fish Springs deal, he was involved in the Truckee Rivers operating agreement deal, which basically is redoing our original ore ditch decree that had all of our water rights set in stone and renegotiated them. It's like we already have these water rights. Why are we negotiating with the state? We don't deal with the state because they're losing out on water and they want to steal more water. And so that was our reason for getting rid of him. So we went and did that, and there was a couple other things on there, and we wanted the Fish Springs deal to be fought. And so when we brought it to the tribal council, it was the last meeting of the year, and elections were coming up. And what they did was instead of acting on it like they're supposed to, because when you're given a petition by the people for the people, you act on it. And what do? They tabled it. And let it go to the next incoming elected officials, and those guys shot it down. And then
wow.
so right there they violated their rights again. So, I mean, it's what do you say to that? You know, how do you tell people that your vote counts?
Wow, that sounds like what we got going on, right?
Oh. Like you said, you know, those have been, you know, our last KBC, they are not recognized, and they should not be, but yet they still remain, you know, and but they're not active.
Make that note. For 5 years they've been recognized, and they have not been recognized by our tribe, but they are doing it still.
Let me guys tell you this. Is our council never seen a guy like me coming before? So what I'm getting prepared to do is I'm prepared to start charging them as individuals for violating my human rights. You know, so that's what I'm getting prepared to start doing, and I'll keep you guys updated on what's going. Because I have some other issues that are going on right now that I can't really move on because, like I said, our government is so corrupt that they could be interfering with, you know, my other things that are going on that are of a personal nature, and it's, you know, nothing big or anything like that, but you know, it's just I got to handle these first, that way I can totally concentrate on, you know, on doing that and charging my counsel as individuals.
That's a good way to do it. Lee, what were you going to say?
Yeah, as I said, you know, so for the past 5 years, you know, our tribe, you know, is being held hostage to where we remain a standstill, you know, and we're not moving forward anywhere. And if anything, as I said, we're declining, and if anything, we're deteriorating, you know. And, you know, there was somebody had a dream, you know, not too long ago that the complex, you know, actually shut down. Due to everything that has been reoccurring, you know, and as I said, you know, we need election to get ourselves back on track, you know, and to uplift ourselves and to move forward from there, you know. And like I said, we need, you know, to be acknowledgeable of our Constitution and our ordinances. We need to, you know, actually comprehend and take necessary action, you know, to apply these things, you know, for ourselves and for younger generations yet to come. And when you're in it, you have to be in it to be in it, you know. Be in it for the right purposes, you know, for the well-being of our people rather than anything else. This is rather sacrificial. Paul.
Paul.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so we're on the topic of what's an Indian. Let's say I almost disenrolled from my tribe a while back, you know, because I figured, well, hell is my tribe. They don't, you know, this is before I even moved up here. I was like, you know what? I'll bet you the tribe get hundreds of thousands of dollars on my behalf, but I don't ever see any of this money. So what's the use of me being? It seems like they need me more than I need them. So if I were to disenroll myself, am I even an Indian anymore? Since I'm not part of a federally recognized tribe?
You would be American. Not an Indian, though. You'd be an American citizen then. American.
So get this. In high school, like there's people who aren't enrolled who in the past they've been four different tribes and they're full blooded Indians. And so each of those tribes, you need more than a quarter amount of blood quantum to be enrolled. So they haven't been able to enroll many tribes. But the Bureau of the BIA says that there's over 33 different descriptions of what an American Indian is. And so she fit that description and was still able to go to high school. So if you're able to still be recognized as an Indian, what's to stop me from disenrolling and getting that money for myself, you know, that you know, Pyramid Lake gets for me, the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Because if I commit a crime and I get put in federal prison, the tribe has to pay for them to hold me incarcerated in there. So why not? Why shouldn't I be able to get that access that money on my own behalf?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably something we should discuss next episode. Because that's you're somewhere right there. You're making me think, but you know, in these final few 5 minutes we got, we like to say this has been another lively discussion. Jackson, I would encourage you if you know anybody who would be interested in trying to investigate our tribe, we would love their help because we're at a standstill. As you know, and as you heard us, you know, we're not the authority. But there is a problem that we need other people to really start looking at why our tribe has been, and I link to as a coup d'etat. You know what a coup d'etat is, right?
No, I don't.
Well, a coup d'etat basically is a peaceful takeover, you know, because like we've been alluded to, the 5 years that we've had this issue, information has just stopped coming from this council. They have just stopped answering to the people, but they've been allowed to do it and continue in their seats by the BIA. And
because
when you're having
that's because they don't represent you; they represent the council. They're an entity of the BIA and the federal government.
And you make that point, and I make that point because you help validate that point, because that entity is how counted a coup d'etat, peacefully took over our tribe without even anybody questioning that it is possibly that's what happened. And that's why that's why we're pretty much at this standstill.
Without proper authorization, without anything, set in place, they pretty much go about their own, and they pretty much, try to set our agenda and our guidelines, based on them, It's a rather unusual form, where certain individuals take on politically,
Yeah, those are just the things we're trying to, like I say, we're trying to address, and we're trying to figure out having these kind of forums and these discussions, especially, with you, Jackson, bringing in, enlightening us with the things that's going on with the Pyramid Lake Paiute tribe, the similarities. And it's just, it would be great, again, if we could get, the other ones that you sent on the air so we can get more information and then they can even hear more of what we've got going on, and we can sit there. It's like, we can work to a solution. We can get people to look at that.
I'll tell you what I've been talking to my friend about. I'm trying to get him on the air, and I'm not sure if he even has time. But basically, what he's been telling me is he disenrolled from the Fallon tribe out here. He's Paiute, and he enrolled in those treaty tribes or whatever. And basically, you're still an Indian no matter what. You don't have to be recognized by the federal government because you can trace your roots back to, your family and everything. And then so he was telling me that our tribal governments are basically just corporations that are part of the federal government. And so they don't have to do anything that the people say.
Yeah. And that's the problem.
That's what you guys need to start researching is that we're corporations. Because I thought that we were because we don't have a treaty over here with the Pyramid Lake, which means I thought that we had more sovereignty. But since we're recognized by the federal government, we get federal funds, we basically have to do what they say because it's federal funds. And then so what I was thinking was that since these people embezzle federal funds over here, they're technically in treason with the federal government by not utilizing
But that happens every day with people who deal with the government. So I don't know. That's that dangerous path.
It's quite common.
The dangerous path these governments.
Yeah, but nobody ever gets charged because their families are afraid to charge them and send them to jail. Screw that.
Yeah.
Send them to jail. Wow. I had to go to jail. Why don't they have to go to jail? Because white-collar crimes cost more to prosecute than blue-collar crimes.
Yeah.
Think about it. You have to get educated people, lawyers, auditors, and all that kind of stuff, people who make, six figures to investigate these and prosecute them next.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
True that.
Yep.
True that. So.
True that.
So, Lee, 30, 15 seconds, final words.
Like I said, we identified our problems. We know what our next step is in fixing our problems, and it's very important that we have an election. Paul
Jackson, 15 seconds.
Pija. That's good.
Good. And, it's been a great discussion. We're glad that you joined us. We're going to do it again. Again, we're going to keep these forums on. Jackson, we're going to see if we can get those others on eventually. But we appreciate your time. Those of you listening, or if you want to podcast this later, go to someguytalking.com and you can push the player right there. But other than that, ladies and gentlemen, we're out. We'll see you guys later.